Good morning, everybody. Have we gotten over our tryptophan poisoning yet from Turkey? You know what I'm saying? That's like, how many of you are groggy still from Thanksgiving? Anybody else? I'm impressed. 9 o'clock in the morning, the real go-getters. Hey, it's great having you with us. Before I go any further, why don't we just open us up in a word of prayer. God, I thank you so much for the Thanksgiving that you gave us, and hopefully many of us have incredible things to be thankful for from Thanksgiving. And I ask that in the midst of our service today, you would grow us as individuals, and as a church, you'd help us to understand what this place is about, and for everybody in this place to have a better understanding of what role you would have us play, if any, in this place. And it's in your name we pray. Amen. Well, before I go any further and talk about why the four of us are up here, let's just kind of talk who is up here. To my left is Anta's little red elfed boot maker. Look at those boots, man. That is like... I'm sure those to everybody. Those
it's
are serious.
In case you mess with me today.
Yeah. Boots are made for walking. One of these days, these boots are going to walk all over you. Anyway, this is Cindy Weininger. And she is, her official job title is Executive Director here at Crossroads Community Church. And obviously a very close personal friend of mine. And the best way I like to describe Cindy is she's sort of the glue of Crossroads. She does so many things behind the scenes, oversees the vast majority of staff and the core functions of the church. And so that's who she is.
Thanks, Brad. And this is Todd Henry. And Todd is the mastermind behind what we see here in the auditorium on stage. He oversees Josh with the music and Steve with all the lighting and stage, sound, everything that has to do with the message. Making these guys look good on the weekend is how I describe Todd.
Not with makeup, though. He doesn't use makeup.
Not anymore. We stopped doing that.
Brian was getting into it too much.
He had an allergic reaction, I think.
He is an allergic reaction. It's too early. I'm going to get in trouble.
Yeah,
I feel it coming.
But
anyway, Todd is just a gift to this place in terms of helping all of us have the experience of learning here outside of just what's being said. So.
And to my left is Brian Wells. And if Cindy is the glue of Crossroads, Brian is probably like the Post-it note of Crossroads, I think.
Is that a size comment? Or
No.
Oh. All right, we had a bet on how long it would take. Let's mark that at 9:22, okay, for whoever.
But that is because Brian's
yeah. Why
role,
is that, Todd?
Well, Brian sort of gets sort of attacks specific projects and different things that are going on in our community, and sort of Brian's job is to kind of look at the big picture of Crossroads and see all the sort of jigsaw pieces and how they go together as to how people grow, and that plays out in a lot of different ways. You probably would be better explaining what some of the specific functions of that are.
Yeah, and probably most specifically, it's on a given year. What do we feel is the spiritual journey where we're trying to take Crossroads as a community on? In particular, how does that play out through the series that we're doing on the weekend and also our next level things that we do? How does that all fit together so that we are a place where there's real spiritual growth happening? So that's kind of the biggest piece to it. And the most one of the most visible parts of that is that also then how that teaching plays out as I share the teaching with Brian. But it's probably a good time to mention, because one of the more visible things I do is I share the teaching with Brian, a lot of people would tend to think that, oh, Crossroads, this is kind of Brian and Brian, kind of are running this thing. And it's not. This is very clearly, there's a reason why there's four of us up here, is there's this management team that overall direct Crossroads on a day-to-day basis. And because the most visible thing I do is the teaching part, you would tend to think of it in terms of Brian and Brian. But it's not. As a matter of fact, on a daily, weekly basis, Cindy and Todd have much more directing the pulse of this church, than what I am, just because of the nature of our roles. But that's how this kind of plays out. But kind of as part of that, we are a team-led thing. But there's also a point leader of this whole thing, just to be kind of the keeper of the vision and to make sure we're really moving forward in a very cohesive way in what God's plan for this church is. And then that's Brian's role as a senior pastor.
Right. Thanks. Well, here's why we're all up here. We've been talking about Crazy Church for the last 3 weeks, and this is the final week. And here's the goal of this whole series. The goal of this whole series has not been to get a lot of people fired up about Crossroads, so that has happened because we really see ourselves as a crazy place where God is doing incredible things. The goal of this series is really to get us all turned on to this invention that God has had from the beginning of time, and that is a church, the local church being the hope of the world, and community coming together to really try to make a difference in the midst of their world. And so we're up here because we're an accurate reflection of the pulse of what's happening at Crossroads. Now, this group here is not the ultimate authority within the church. That would be our board of spiritual directors. Some churches call them elders. Some people, churches might call them the vestry or something like that. And that group has really chosen to have a behind-the-scenes support role. Even though they're the ultimate authority, they have chosen to push down authority to other levels of the church, and this is sort of the group that really is the most responsible for the day-to-day running and operation of the church. And so once you get a sense of what we're about, you should have a better sense of whether or not this is the crazy church that God would have you be a part of. But to be very, very clear, the goal today is this. Some of us in here are kind of like churchgoers at large, kind of Christians at large. We're just kind of nomads that pop in and out of various spiritual environments. There's nothing wrong with going to different churches. But if you think that you can grow spiritually outside of a commitment to a local church where you are under the authority of a local church, you're challenged, you're growing, you're contributing, you're a part of the thing, think again. You cannot ultimately grow and have a consistent spiritual journey like that. And so what we're hoping today is some of you are going to go, man, now I understand what this crazy church is about, and yes, this is my church. And for others of you, you're going to say, wow, I didn't know that. And now I know that this is not the place for me. Now I know there must be another church where I need to be a part of. Acts 2:42 to 47 talks about what a local church, what a crazy church looks like. Here's what it says. It says, they devoted themselves, you like that I thing? That was good. Well, yeah, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to the prayer. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. That was their church leaders. All the believers were together and had everything in common. Selling their possessions and goods, they gave to anyone as he had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. That word saved has so much baggage. It ultimately means people who've come to understand what a meaningful life is with God through His Son, Jesus Christ. And there we see a picture of what a local functioning community looks like. They're meeting together regularly. They're encouraging together each other regularly. They're giving of their offerings and helping each other in need. They're actually seeing miraculous things happen in their midst. They're praying. They're doing life together. They're not just coming and sitting on their butts once a week for an hour. They're actually connected with one another. And that is the picture of an incredible local church. And when it's operating properly, there is nothing better. And so what we're going to do the rest of our time is we're going to open up the mics here, and we're going to give you the opportunity to ask any question you'd like. You know, like, why in the world is Crossroads X? Or I don't understand what's so big about a church doing this. We'd like you to ask questions that might be defining things for you as to whether or not this is your local community to be a part of. We have other forums for this, such as Open House and things like that. We want to bring that here to a much more raw level. Anything else we want to say about that?
Well, what I'd also add is the caveat. When last time we did open Q&A, it was during our Go Ahead and Ask series. And we talked then, we said, hey, what we're about here, you know, in this series, what we want to do in the Q&A is talk about real raw questions you have about God. You know, what, you know, why does God do this or how, you know, that. And we said, at that time, we said, and that's where we want to focus our questions, not on why does Crossroads do this or will we ever do this. Well, this time it's flipped. This time we're not so much dealing with those questions that you have about God so much as questions you have about Crossroads. Why does Crossroads do this or this? So, you know, questions like, you know, why does God allow Britney Spears to flourish? You know, that wouldn't be appropriate thing for this.
I was going to say pain and suffering, but that would be it, actually.
I think there's a deeper question there. It's really, but, you know, so that's where we're going to kind of focus the questions is more specifically on Crossroads.
Yep, good. Oh, so they are open. Last night were awesome, man. If we could have just, maybe if you guys don't ask good questions, we're just going to take the videotape from last night and play it. people had unbelievable, penetrating questions. So
no pressure.
They're open.
Yeah.
Yes, no pressure.
No pressure on you, but
comment. Okay, let's close in prayer.
Let's all go.
And this is the time. I mean, the title of the service today is Real Crazy, and this is the time to be real. I mean, this is the time to ask any real, raw, hard questions.
Yeah, this is it. This is it, because you need to figure out, you know, whether or not this is the place that you can actually call home. Here we go.
Yes,
and please don't adjust the mic, because I know it might be short for you all, but the next person will be short, and they got to adjust it back. So you got to stay on your tippy toes or crouch down.
Crouch down, Tommy.
Hi, y'all. The question that I have is, with all the growth and with all the diversity that I'm seeing and have seen in the 6.5 years that I've been here, it's been awesome. I'm a little nervous asking this question, but here it is. With the diversity and the growth that you all are seeing, what does that mean for you all as a staff? And with the diversity that's happening, and not trying to be funny, is there a chance that we might see someone of color, like someone on the pastoral staff, for example, you know, to kind of be, you know, kind of a representation, you know? That's makes any sense.
That's an awesome question. Mm-hmm. You want to take that moment?
Yeah, I can. Part of my role is looking at all of our hiring procedures and recruiting and staffing. And we've been working with two outside consultants to help us do this process over the last year, and one consultant about a year, another much longer than that. And one of the things that we've learned in terms of building our staff is that because we're a very lean staff, we have about 30 full-time employees, which is almost unheard of for a church of this size. That's about half of what the industry standard would look like in industry being churches. We are very selective about who comes on staff, because it's very much like being a part of a family. And in the process of also trying to diversify our staff, we are constantly opening up the number of people and the avenues that we're using for recruiting. And while diversity is very much at the forefront, we're doing work to help train our staff on how to work with people of all types, whether it's gender, race, whatever type, personality type. And also we're widening our recruiting to find people who are diverse. It's just a very challenging process for us, period, because we're looking for people who share the vision of this church. We're looking for people who share the type of work ethic that we do. We're looking for people. We hire leaders because we need people to lead other people. And so there's such a selection process involved here that we're wide open to diversify our staff, and have made it a point to really work at doing that, and have learned that the way to do that isn't just to go hire people of diversity, it's to widen the pools of recruiting that we're doing. So we're actively working on it, and it's a challenge.
And what you can do is you can just kind of come behind the mics and lines if you like, and just kind of stand there, and that way we can save as much time as possible. Yeah.
When we started, there was more focus, I think, from leadership to stimulating small groups. There used to be a regular kind of group session where we would pick out leaders, or people would volunteer, and then we would meet. And I know that that's gone more to a privatized or individual behind the scenes kind of nature. Is there any goal to bring that forward again?
Yeah,
why don't you take one too?
No, sorry. Well, some of these are just the area that I work with. But what we have found in working with churches throughout the country is that small groups are such a focus for all churches. But when you get underneath it and behind the scenes and talk to the small groups pastors or directors or whatever, it is almost an impossible feat to organize exactly, you know, well, here's the structure of small groups, and here's all the accountability, and here's your coach, and here are all the systems involved in it. And so what we really began to look at is, we want people to naturally form into groups because they're motivated to be together, and because they're motivated to go on a spiritual journey together. And so why would we dictate something that should be happening naturally? And so what we've done is we've gone about offering places for people to form groups naturally. And then we've offered, we have one Saturday morning a month where we do leadership forum, where we've offered training specifically to people who want to lead. We call them A-teams here. And who want to lead an A-team and come and get more training or have a forum to have open discussion about the problems that they're running into. And so we've seen our A-team ministry take off and fly at a rate that we've never seen before once we took kind of the shackles off all of the rules and regulations of how that should happen. And we have a process called community groups where it's a larger group, usually about 30 or more people, who form naturally around kind of a common goal. Like we saw Time Out for Moms brought up this morning. That's a community group where people can come together because they have a likeness to them. And then from there, we encourage them to break out into A-teams. And we've seen that happen throughout the church. And really, in a healthy church, the A-team type structure should happen on the serving teams that people are on, because people ought to naturally be forming together and then serving one another and caring for one another the way another church might really orchestrate a small group system.
And let me add on that too. I'm kind of playing the moderator up here, so I got to kind of sense how many people are interested in a specific question and how much depth do we want to give to it. I think that's enough depth, but let me just add one other thing on top of that. It used to be the churches, what are churches doing? And actually, specifically in denominations, say, well, how do we do this? What's the Book of Order say? What's the Book of Polity? What's the Book of Common Prayer? Or whatever. And we just do that. And it used to be in churches in America back in the mid-80s, it was like, well, what are people teaching at the conferences? Small groups popped up. Well, here's how you do it. And here's how you start it. And more and more, what you really see is God does unique things in unique churches. And it is the responsibility of the leaders of those churches to discern what are the appropriate means and methods that will work and serve the people who are coming to our church. And so there's some methods and means that other churches use that are beautiful and work wonderful for them, but given a variety of factors, aren't appropriate for our culture. And so it doesn't mean that one's better and the other isn't. It just means that we're responsible to take a look at the whole culture and all of the factors and saying, we think this is the best approach. So, thank you, sir. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And if you have nothing to follow up, after you ask a question, you can just go ahead right back. Here you go.
Good morning. My name is Julie. And I want to piggyback on the first question about your recruiting efforts and what is available and what isn't. How does one know what you're recruiting for? Where can that be found?
Mm-hmm. We'll have specific roles on staff, and normally the first process that we look to is who's already volunteering in that area, because what we staff against are the places in our church that we already see that God's kind of at work and something's happening in that ministry. And so what we do is wait until a ministry has gotten to the place where it needs to have a staff person against it, because we're really focused on making sure that that we're not just throwing a staff person at a problem, but that we're watching and seeing where God's bringing up people within the church to begin ministries and to work on ministries. And so the only thing that we've actively recruited for, like in the weekend program and all, is for administrative support, because we wait to see where if we see someone in our church who is a viable candidate to be on staff, they're normally already really serving and involved in that ministry.
Yeah, we have, I think, two people on our staff that have ever been on church staff before. All these people up here, they never envisioned for their life being in ministry. And I went to all of them as individuals and said, you're being way too fruitful and productive as a volunteer. I think I would challenge you to think through whether or not God is asking you to make this your life calling. And so, bam, here they are. There went
so
74.
Your pool for recruiting then is from your volunteer staff, mostly.
Primarily, yes.
As a first run. And then if we don't see a person who's actively involved here within this church, we will go. Brian's got relationships, and we all do, with pastors at other churches. And so we'll talk with other churches. What do you see? We'll often work through churches out of town, that type thing. So
thanks.
Thank you, ma'am.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, right here, sir.
Good morning.
I wanted to ask, why is Crossroads considered an interdenomination or interfaith ministry as opposed to non-denominational?
Oh, that's a good one. Well, there's really not a lot of difference between interdenominational and non-denominational. It's just semantics. We choose to do interdenominational as opposed to non-denominational because non-denominational can be heard by many as making a statement of, we are non-denominational, we are not part of the denomination. I know a lot of people take pride in that. We're not anti-denominations. We're not against denominations. We just feel that it was appropriate for us to start this thing not connected with a denomination, and so it's just more of an inclusive term, interdenominational, as opposed to making a statement against denominations.
And it reflected the backgrounds of when we started this, that we were coming from different denominations, yeah. And we weren't starting this because we were mad at where we were coming from. So what Crossroads did was it reflects, and still does, a lot from a lot of different backgrounds, a lot of different denominations coming together just to focus on what God's doing here.
Great. Thank you, sir.
This might be a long-winded question, but I've always heard that Crossroads has a high percentage of what we call recovering Catholics.
Are you one?
Yes. Slowly
so
but surely.
So then you're the only one that matters, then.
Catholic,
you know?
Recovering.
Well, what I want to say is there is a there's a faith community about a mile up the road that is in a deep crisis and a sense of pain right now, due to the dismissal of their longtime principal in a very sudden and autocratic manner by the pastor. And anybody who's followed the news is aware of the pain that Nativity is in. I would venture to say that there are a number of people that attend this church that may also send their children to that school. And I wonder if part of Crossroads' crazy mission is to take a position on that, because other faith communities, both Catholic and non-Catholic, in the neighborhood recognize Nativity's contribution to this community, not only for Pleasant Ridge, but many other surrounding communities where they draw their students. And I'm wondering, like I said, if it's part of Crossroads' crazy mission to express your concern to the hierarchy over that situation.
That's a great question. Let me take that one. You guys can... Short answer would be no. Our mission here is to connect the secret to a community of growing Christ followers. That's the main thing. Our mission is to make a difference in the city and in the world. And that doesn't necessarily mean speaking to things in which we have no authority. You know, the Catholic Church has obviously got a number of different problems right now. And there's great people who are there who are trying to figure them out. And we've never seen our role as sort of being God's voice against all that is not right in the city. There's some things that we'll speak to, and it's because we're going to be actively involved in the midst of it. And so we haven't seen that as our role to have some sort of public weigh in on challenges they're facing right now. And a lot of people, this is one of the things for you to figure out whether or not this is a church for you. A lot of people really need to be involved with a church that has a regular string of weighing in on every issue every week from the pulpit, if you will. How can we only hear more about this? How can we weigh in? And it's like, well, in the right season, the right time, we'll deal with that. But it's not our church's mission to weigh in on every social issue that's happening on a week-by-week basis. And for some churches, that might be their mission. And that's totally fine. But for us, that's not our deal.
Thanks.
Mm-hmm. Hi.
Hey.
Okay, this is a serious question that I've had trouble answering with a couple of people that I've brought here, and they've asked me this, and I don't really know what to say. And I'm not making any assumptions that we're not doing enough. But people have asked me, you know, it seems like Crossroads spends a lot of their cash on stuff to make it look cool, you know, here. I mean, we got flat panel monitors outside and, you know, cool stage props and all that that might seem, I mean, I know they have their purpose, but maybe that, I don't know, just yeah. People who ask me, you know, do you think they spend too much money on superficial stuff when, you know, the passage we just read from Acts talked about this crazy church, you know, selling their possessions and giving to all of those who have need. I know we do a lot, but, you know, how do we answer that question for people who are...
Yeah, Todd, how do we answer that question?
Oh, goody.
You take a first run, or you okay. Want me to take a first run?
Oh, Todd, no. Who always wants more money.
I can speak to that.
What did you say?
I said, oh, Todd, who always wants more money.
Yes, you do, all your little gadgets. And.
Todd knocks on my door, I'm like...
Well, I can certainly speak to the programming aspect of that. And also, that also, I think, reflects into a lot of the way that we do things throughout the ministry, and that is that you know, we one of our sort of core functioning values is excellence, and I don't see why there should be a standard, sort of like a standard for church and the way that churches do things and communicate and do things, and then there's a standard for the way that everything else is done. I don't understand why people feel that, you know, that God should get our second best efforts, our second best everything. And so if we have giftedness within our community, whether it be, you know, theatrical giftedness in the way that we communicate a message, or creativity, or things like that, that we should be able to utilize those gifts and to utilize however God has uniquely gifted us in that sense. And also, just to address the second part, that all of this stuff is remarkably not as expensive as it probably looks on a week-to-week basis, because we have a huge team of volunteers that basically it's just raw materials and people building.
Let's call it a good example of plasmas. Here's our decision-making process when we did the plasma screens. We said, there's going to be a lot of light in the atrium. We need people to see what's on those plasma screens, so we can do like a 32-inch thing with big hoods that aren't going to be as effectively seen, or we can spend money on plasma screens. At the same time doing plasma screens, we knew we were investing in technology that was going to help us for years and years on down the line, and some of those things that we make decisions around here are first impression spending decisions that help us ultimately reach seekers, reach those of you who you saw those plasma screens, like you did a head tilt. Oh, what, gosh, what's this church about? It was a head tilt for you. It maybe helped bring down some walls. Same with the coffee and all that kind of stuff, where you could come in here and you could hear a message that made you very uncomfortable because the surroundings were comfortable. And then what happens is, once our base is built, and this is what happened in the first century, as their base was built, their ability to help other people was increased. And so the more we build into this place and people are coming, the more our efforts and the impact that we can have outside of our walls. And so it's really not, hey, you know, you got to have this much going outside of your walls of the poor and this much here as a percentage. It's more, what is the wisdom behind how we're spending money in the whole picture? And so we've just decided that God has really called us. One of the hills that we die on is excellence. And one of the things we do is, when we feel like there's something that should be spent or something we need to do it well. Like my last church. You know, in Africa, all the elephants go someplace and they all die, you know, the same place. Well, the church I served in last, that was the place where all the old vacuum cleaners in the North Hills of Pittsburgh went before they died. You know, people would be like, hey, my vacuum doesn't work anymore. Here, I know, I'll give it to the church. Because people say, we can't be spending vacuum cleaners for the church. Well, hey, guess what? If it's not good enough for you, it ain't good enough for the church. That's a biblical principle. And so that's kind of the how.
Let me tack on there, too. I think sometimes it's invisible, the depth of how much time we spend making some of those decisions. Because, you know, one of the reasons that we decided on the plasma screens out there was that we didn't have the footprint in the building to put a crying room in for parents, where we'd had that at the other place. And so all of a sudden you look at, well, what do you do with people who have crying children and they still want to be involved in the service, and we don't have any more space in this building if we're committed to the community feel of that atrium the way that it is. And so plasma screens, you know, and we constantly, I tease Todd about asking for more money, but it is, we make decisions, I mean, we really think through, is this the right way to stay on mission, to welcome people and help them understand that they can go on a spiritual journey by giving them different experiences. One of my favorite comments from Brian Wells, when we get these, you know, we hear that, are you spending too much money? And Brian always says, I've never yet gotten a comment card that says, you know, you should do away with the coffee. And if you all knew how much money got spent on coffee around here, it is way more than ever got spent on plasma screens or anything.
And you can call the office and you can get a breakdown of where we put things in the budget if you want to take a look at that. But I'll give you an example. One of the reasons why we don't like proactively publish line item stuff is because it would take us like hours and hours and hours to describe everything that we do around here, because there's so many things that are involved with that. I'll give you an example. How many of you like the casting down your idols thing? We smash the glass ball idol, you know? We spent $3,000 on broken glass that weekend. $3,000 gone. Some people say, how can you spend $3,000 to break glass when there's people who are doing it? Because here's why. We grew, all of us spiritually, we spent $3,000 to have a significant spiritual impact that for many of us was a watershed moment to that is going to be God's foundational point to build things into our life that's going to impact other people. That was a wise decision. But to go in and talk about all those things sometimes doesn't make a lot of sense unless you look at the whole picture.
I would even throw one other example just of the counterintuitive way that we believe God works, you know, in money here is, you know, the tapes and the CDs that we give away here. I recently was at a visionary roundtable at O'Hare Airport where they got together these leaders from about 15 leading, however you want to define that, churches from around the country, talking about how we can use the internet better to reach people. And I just asked a question about how people were using their messages and their tapes and all that, and not a single person there had ever heard of a church ever anywhere in the world that gives away their tapes and CDs ever. And I just said, you know,
they
just
sell them. I mean, they have
sell
them, but it's
$4 a pop, whatever. And some people would say that that was wasteful, our decision from the beginning to give these tapes away when we all know we all could afford $3, $4 a tape. We just feel that those things are like scattered seeds out there and that this is the life-changing truth of God. We would drop them from a helicopter if we could. So we've gave them away, but now you know what? We've spent chunks and chunks and chunks of money every year giving those things away, but we feel that the spiritual investment that that's making is absolutely huge. That's counterintuitive to the normal balance sheet way that churches would look at things. And one last thing I'd tack onto that, spent some time early when we were developing Crossroads and heard a pastor of a church out in California say that the thing he had seen overall with churches was that they, in the early years, they tended to be vision-driven, and in the later years, they tended to be budget-driven. And we've just said, we're not going to let go of this vision, and we are never, never going to not do things just because the money's not there, because God will provide it. And he has. Our budget process, believe me, I spent 9.5 years at P&G, would freak most of you out because of the way, you know, that we go about is we say, what does God want us to do? And then he'll show up. And you know, if he didn't, I didn't want us to do that in the first place.
Good word. Great. Who is next? Right here, sir. Thanks for standing all that way.
Yeah, my knees are sore now. I just wanted to say, first of all, that this is probably one of the first churches that my wife and I have been to where I really feel comfortable and feel that God really wants us to tithe here and to give here. And so, I mean, that's been neat. That's been very reassuring for me. The teachings are excellent. But I see a motorcycle up there, and I've yet to see hardly anybody ride motorcycles around here. You guys ever thinking about maybe getting some guys together, or women also? And this is not like an in-depth question like other people have had. To get some rides going on some Sundays.
Yeah, you have. Like, a couple things that, first of all...
Wait, have you ever met Brian before, and did he give you that question?
No, but I do remember a discussion about going out west and riding some motorcycles.
Here's the deal. He talks about it a lot. No one's actually ever seen him out riding a motorcycle. Yeah.
I'll let him ride mine.
He rode it for like 19 feet on the stage one day.
Here's how sad I am.
He's got the jacket, he's got the hat, he's got, you know, he's always talking about his bike, but he doesn't have one.
He Brian Wells the other day about Brian's wife needed to go riding on a Harley, and he was going to take him. I said, you don't have a Harley.
He forgets.
What are you going to ride on?
This is not mine. I wish it were. This is not mine. It's a guy. Actually, it's for sale. It's on eBay. $15,000. It's going to be yours. What you can do, that's a great question, is go to an A-Team, the A-Team website on the portion of our website, and say, hey, I'm looking for some people to ride with. And maybe that can be an A-Team that you start. Go out and ride and maybe talk together and pray together, that kind of thing. But at this point, are we looking to bring a staff member in who oversees motorcycle ministry? No. Maybe what we'll do is take the money we would spend on that and have them buy me a personal motorcycle. Maybe that's what we'll do instead.
One thing I would just cut onto there related to the last question is that's a perfect example, though. Somebody might come in and say, well, look, they rented a Harley every week for the series. What's up with that? No, we didn't. Somebody loaned it to that for free. So it's sitting up here, most of the stuff, you know, kind of for free. You'd be amazed at the resources that
they have available. Good. Yep.
Forgive me for not having a question. I just wanted to take this time because it seemed like a perfect opportunity to do what I've wanted to do for a long time, and that's just to support and encourage you and affirm what you're doing in this community, in my life and in my my marriage and in my extended family. I mean, my mother-in-law's coming now, and she's bringing her friends who are here this morning, and I see how Stephanie's just growing here, and Kevin is doing such a great job with First Impressions. I totally trust what you're doing in this church. I see how it's affecting our community. Our neighbors are talking about Crossroads, and I know they were looking for other avenues, and it's not that Crossroads is the place. It's not the focus. God is the focus and what Christ is doing in people's lives, and I just see what an impact we're making on this whole city, and as Brian, you said, you know, eventually on the world. And I just, if I could, I just like to take this opportunity to applaud what you're doing. I know it takes a lot of time. All I do is teach kindergarten, but I know how much time and energy that takes to make it successful, to grow children and build into them. You're building into thousands of people. I can't even imagine how you do it and still stay healthy mentally, spiritually, emotionally, and how you still have time for your kids and for your husbands and for your wives. So thank you so much.
Thank you.
How do I follow that?
You get the Christmas award so far. Yeah. That's it. That's the first Christmas sweater I've seen this Christmas season. I was like, go ahead.
Thank you.
That's a good one.
I'm devoted to Crossroads spiritually, and you facilitated my growth greatly. But I found socially, as a single person, I've had to split my volunteer time with another church because when I come to our social activities, I feel like I'm being thrust to the married couples, and if you want to meet somebody, you have to do it by osmosis or something. And I didn't know if there was a reason we didn't have like a single support thing like we have for mothers and fathers, and if it's just a lack of having people involved, I'd like to help that. I know divorce group, but I've been divorced 13 years.
Well, here's how that looks for us. That's a good question. Here's how it looks for us. This is, again, how different churches approach things differently. In most churches, especially ones our size, you got a singles ministry department, you got a men's ministry department, you got a women's ministry department, you got all these different departments. And we decided from the very beginning that we don't want to segment all of our church out into all of these departments. And that's a strategic decision we make. We don't want the singles to feel, or the unmarrieds, or the divorced, or the men, or the women to feel like they've got to go to their own unique thing in order to be ministered to by the church. Half of our people here are single, so the idea of creating a separate, basically, church for them just doesn't make sense. And so what we do is say, here's some opportunities for you to get involved with some other people who might have some unique issues that you're dealing with, and go support one another. And what's happened for us, like for divorce care or other things like that, we've had people in our midst who rose up and said, hey, I'd really like to make that thing happen. We said, man, we think God would have you do that. Why don't you start that? We had one that was more with singles people a while ago, not long ago. It was called Outlet. And they started that whole thing up. And then what happened was they really felt like they came to the end of their time, and it was kind of like, wow, you know, it just doesn't seem right for us to meet anymore for various reasons, and the run was done. And another group might pop up at some other point, too. But we're not going to institutionalize around here anything, and specifically things that are going to segment out our church. We want to be a unified community that's going the same direction.
And just quickly, I'd say there's dance, there's Save Room for Dessert, there's a workout group, and anybody who wants to start a community group, they can call the church. We've got kind of a way to go about doing that fits in with the structure of Crossroads, and we're wide open for that. We just stick with our community group A-team system to cover anything from divorce care to the moms group. So we're wide open.
I had a part two. I just wondered about the debate with the hot chocolate, how that's going.
Thank you. I'm going to say this. I think we might only have chance for one more. I'm sorry, but let me just say this. A lot of these things that are coming up, again, it's not the way to do it. Our way is not necessarily the way. Every church doesn't need to be like us, and we don't need to be like other churches. There's other ways that God is working in other crazy churches in the city. Let me just give you some examples. You know, here's some churches that you might want to check out. If you're going to yourself, hey man, I just need a little more tradition. I need more tradition. Hyde Park United Methodist Church has that. That could be a great thing for you. If you're going, man, I just need a church that's got more social action, involved more, you might want to go to Christ Emmanuel Christian Fellowship. Bishop Michael Dantley, awesome guy, personal friend of mine, as is Don Dixon, Hyde Park Methodist. St. Cecilia Church, some of you are going, man, I don't know if I can ever get away from the Catholic Church. Maybe you shouldn't. Maybe you shouldn't. St. Cecilia's a great one right on down the street. Wellspring Community Church is smaller than us. They're about a half hour away up in Westchester. You might want to look at them. Horizon Community Church, people regularly say, man, your music is just too edgy. It's too raw. It's too this. It's too that. Music has always been the most polarizing thing we've done here. Always. Some people love it. Some people hate it. Some people want more. Some people want less. Some people want it louder. Some people want it softer. It always is. Here's one which is a kind of a softer version of our music. We actually started that church in Indian Hill. Vineyard Community Church, North Star Vineyard Church, Dave Workman and Matt Massey are there. Some of you just go, man, I need to come on Sundays where I get more worship through singing. Hey, there's your options. Good churches, and doesn't mean that one is better than the other, but man, if some of you, that's just what you need more on a weekend, and that's your place. New Hope Church over in Oak Hills, church startup over with Steve Jesse, it's some good stuff. And so what do I put this up here for? Well, because all of us who are Christ followers are part of the capital C church. But then outside of that, you have got to find a small C church that you are committed to. And if it's not here, maybe it's one of those, or maybe it's one that I didn't have time to put up on the screen. But friends, you cannot play around with your attitude towards the church. It is not a disposable commodity that you kind of drift in and drift out whenever you want. Based on something that upsets you, you just leave. That's not the way it used to work. We have all these churches you can do here. You know what it used to be like in the first century? You were lucky if you had one church in your city, and that's where you had to go, and you had to suck it up and deal with it. And you had to learn to put up with differences. You had to learn to serve other people and not always be served. But here in our American consumeristic society, our consumerism goes right in line with our spirituality, because now we can just go to different places and consume based on what we want. And I'm telling you, friends, you will not grow. You won't. You won't. And so maybe this is the place for you. If it is, awesome. Make a commitment. And if it isn't, there's some great options up there. All right, now for you. Wow. Last one, 10 o'clock. I'm sorry, man.
Whatever the question, the answer is going to be suck it up.
That's right.
Welcome to staff.
Now I'm under pressure. I grew up in a church where we worshiped together as a family, and I was able to see my mom and dad grow spiritually in worship. Are there any plans that my kids can come in this environment and worship? I know the way it's set up now, it's definitely not age appropriate for a 4-year-old and a 1-year-old. But when they go into kids club, they do their own thing. And because I work back there, I know what they're doing. But they don't know what I do in here. My 4-year-old thinks this is the big, black, dark room. And what do you do in there, Mom? So are there any plans for any type of family worship where kids can grow by seeing their parents worship? There's no better role model than your own parents.
Wonderful. Well, I'd say short-term next level is that. Short-term next level is that. So on Wednesday nights or next level service, because that's the place where we really focus on some of the deeper worship and things like that. That is the place where a lot of times you'll see people, whole families in here. There's an option if you want your kids, you know, to have something else on that night. But for instance, that's the place where I bring my kids often, because I do miss that as part of, you know, being able to have that. So that short-term, that is it. It's next level. Long-term, I don't know. We continue to experiment. I'll answer this in a very nebulous way, but we continue to be frustrated by the path that it seems most churches have taken, where it is a place where you go and we separate the family. You go there, you go there, you go there. We continue to feel challenged by the place of how can we be a place that families are growing together and that the church is a place where families stay together once they get there. We don't have all the answers to that, but we continue to experiment with ways like that. So I wouldn't be surprised if in the future we don't experiment with something more along those lines. Who knows?
Yeah, Christmas Eve service is a great time. Yeah.
There are a couple of strategic times throughout the year when we do that, when it's more of a family environment.
Oh, here we go. And is that a Christmas sweater too?
That's ski sweater with winter snowflakes.
Good. Okay, why don't you give your first name if you come. Just give your first name. And
Kimberly.
Go ahead.
My question is based off, I guess, a service that you did a few weeks ago on your trip to South Africa. I've always been interested in doing some sort of a mission trip. And I'm just wondering, not so much why we do this or that, but I know there are lots of mission trips I could get involved in, but I think when you look at what we pulled through the last few years with Thanksgiving, just the contagious atmosphere around here, it's so infectious. I would much rather do something like that with the family here, with what we've got here. And I'm just wondering, is that something that you're looking at?
Well, first of all, you are so right. Last week was just one of my highlights. And I got to tell you guys, as a church, You guys are awesome. Awesome. You're right. That's a great way to put it. The infectious giving attitude is phenomenal here. You should be clapping for each other. You really should. It's just phenomenal. So it comes down to South Africa. We know that we're going to do something in partnership with that church. Over the next several months, it'll come down more to exactly what is that going to be. And we also know that we're going to put some of their building needs onto our crazy campaign that we're going to do with the AIDS and Hospice Mortuary Center. But there could be and will be other things beyond that that we're still trying to drill down on. You know, one of them may be adopting a certain level of people who are in that community who can't pay for basic food to keep them healthy. And how do we as a church partner with that? So there's a bunch of things that we're still looking at with that. So stay tuned.
But there, at the same time, there's also, it's not an either or. There are local things. You know, for instance, our Kaleidoscope youth mentoring program, our partnership with Food Kitchen and Over the Rhine. So we see it as a both and.
Yes.
And we are going to be ramping up our serving opportunities, in particular our cross-cultural serving opportunities here within the city and then also outside of the city as well. So both of those you'll be seeing a lot more of in the future.
And when someone's done answering the question, just come right forward. So just go ahead and stand right there, and they'll bring on the light on you, and then fill them up. There you go.
Hi, my name's Andrew. And Brian, you said something, I think, a couple weeks ago, that brought tears in my eyes, but I know some people thought you were insane, which was not only did you think that Crossroads on the corner of Ridge and Madison was going to change Cincinnati, but it was going to change the world. And I was wondering, that was a bold statement, and I know I've talked to people that thought, man, you know, yeah, I can see Cincinnati, but the world, that might be a little far-fetched. What is God doing around here? And you've kind of already touched on it some, and how do you think God's speaking to this church, and what are some of the things that you see Crossroads doing in the future that might very well impact this entire world?
Wow. How much time do I have? All right, here's a rough schematic I'm working on right now. Some people say, well, why doesn't Crossroads do more of this, or, you know, more of feeding the poor, more outreach stuff, or why isn't Crossroads doing, like, for 6 years people have been saying, or 7 years, how come Crossroads isn't doing more or anything overseas, really, and all these different things? And what we've been doing for the last 7 years is we've just been building our foundation. You can't put on us the expectations you have for a church that's been around for 100 years and it's got all kinds of systems and this and that. We've been going for 7 years. That's it. And so what we've been doing is dealing with the basic foundations of what do you do to build a healthy, biblically functioning community. And so what's happened now, you know, if my hand is, you know, the ministry of Crossroads over the last 7 years, we've been building that foundation. Now what you're seeing is now, as a result of how strong that foundation is, we're able to put more and more things that are kind of on top of that foundation. So now what we need to do is not just say, okay, forget about this. We're going to keep doing different things, whether it be South Africa or mentoring at Washington Park or City Cure and helping the poor in Cincinnati. Now it's this thing where you say, we've got to continue to ongoing strengthen the foundation, which is the basic core ministries of our church that's been growing all of us spiritually and reaching us and reaching our friends to have a relationship with God. And as that continues to expand, the opportunities for us are going to continue to expand. And so I don't know exactly what that's going to look like 7 years from now, but here's what I know. A lot of the things that we're seeing pop with around here are not things that we made up. Are things that are very basic Bible things that for some of the churches I've served in, we just never did. We just never did them, whether it's church discipline or whether it's challenging people. And so as we continue to do some of those basic core things that all churches should be doing, we're going to see our effectiveness to touch lives in the world increase and increase and increase. And I don't know exactly how it's going to look, but I've seen God do too many significant, miraculous things around here in 7 years for me to not expect that to continue to expand on a global basis.
Yeah, and I would add on to that. There's a couple ways, I think very specific ways we already see, you know, just simply from the standpoint of the transient nature of the east side of Cincinnati, the number of people that were even involved in the early stages of this church that are now somewhere else in the world. You know, and we really see Crossroads as being a place where people help to get the kind of a spiritual foundation, and they tend to be leaders, and they go out into other parts of the world, and that kind of impact out there. So we've seen that spread throughout the world already, things like whatever's bubbling up in South Africa. But also, we're looking at ways that we've had to... We don't want to invent anything here at Crossroads. We beg, borrow, and steal whenever possible. We're not into just inventing things to do our own thing. But we have found numerous times in these 7.5 years now where we've needed to invent something because what was out there just didn't work for our context. So we have a lot of that stuff, and we're looking into ways we can just share that for free to any church around the world who possibly wants it. So we already have a lot of our resources that are spread out there around the country already. We just give them away to anybody who wants for free. We're looking for ways to do that globally right now as well. I think that's another way that it could play out.
Beautiful. Yeah, you almost answered my question. I almost don't have one. I have two questions. One, you
guys... What's your name?
Oh, my name is Paul.
There you go, Paul.
Hello.
Paul. Hi, Paul.
I want to know, will you be giving visuals? I know that you give the tapes and CDs out front, but I've been inviting a lot of people to come to Crossroads since I've been coming here. It's amazing. It's absolutely amazing. But I try to explain to them what it is. And you can't explain it. It's crazy church. You know, and if you guys could, you know, give some visuals, because I know that I can show some people what it really is all about. Two, did you guys purposely come up with the concept of, well, what I think it is anyway, is church plus family counseling center? That's what it seems to be to me.
Mm.
I can take the first one. Because I think are you asking, like, are we going to actually make services available on
video
something like that?
Yeah.
It's something we're continually looking at, trying to figure out ways we can do that. Unfortunately, with copyright law being what it is, we use a lot of materials we're licensed to use here in our services, but we're not licensed to give those away or to distribute those. Mm-hmm. And so it would become incredibly time intensive to go through and edit out all of that stuff, plus to devote time against duplicating all of that. And it's something we're always looking at. Okay, how can we do? Is this like a new medium we can use to sort of like the same way we use the tapes and whatnot? And I think in the future, most likely, you know, something we will be doing. I don't know when. I don't know, you know, how soon that will be. But also right now, just because of the way that we're staffed, which is actually incredibly thin, which is probably something we'll talk about at some point, to devote staff time against editing and duplicating those and everything probably would not be to the best of our mission right now.
Excellent.
But it is something we're looking at for the future.
I'm kind of playing facilitator to make sure we're popping along. That's excellent. If you want to talk more, we'll talk, but we'll have Cindy deal with the second part of your question, Paul.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah, what we've learned about being a church is that it's a living, breathing thing. I mean, all of us make up the church. And so when it comes to looking at something like a counseling center, we look to people and the circle of people around them to really care for one another and to provide help in times of need. And then one of the things that we've learned over and over again is that for us to get into what is kind of a counseling business is really dangerous for us because we want to make sure that people are getting the most excellent care that they can when they are in times of need. And so we provide a list of pre-screened counselors. You can call the office at any time and get that. And that helps us make sure that we're caring for people in the best way and that we're not stepping out of our realm of knowledge and expertise and potentially doing damage by counseling. So we love people caring for one another.
Right here.
Hi. My name is Teresa. I'm a single mother. I work an average of 40 to 70 hours a week. I struggle to get here every week to sit on my butt for an hour. Why do you have to make us feel that if we don't have time to be active in the church, if we don't have time to socialize, that we might as well not even be here? You know, God says in the Bible, there's a time and a place for everybody. Maybe when I'm married and I've got a husband that can help me financially, and I've got a husband that helped me with my son, maybe then I can be active in the church and I can spend more time. But I hear that all the time and it bothers me. I like this church, but it bothers me how much that I hear it's not enough to sit on your butt here for an hour.
Thank you. That's the kind of questions we want. Everyone give Teresa a hand. That's beautiful. And you can sit down or you can stand and as I react to that. Thank you. When I speak on stage, I don't have the ability of customizing a message for every individual in here. I wish I did. When I speak from on stage, I have to give what is generally applicable to the broadest audience. And there's no question that there are people in here, you probably are one, who are in a season of your life wherein it is unrealistic to expect you to perhaps be involved anywhere else. Perhaps. I don't know enough about your situation. I'm just going to take your face value. But when I talk about that, I do believe the Bible is extremely clear that when you took a look at Acts 2, 42 to 47 and what was happening in there, those are people who are involved in doing life with one another, and that often included serving in the midst of the church that they were a part of. And so for someone like perhaps you in your situation, that might not be what God would have you to do, but it's a very accurate general statement that there are too many people who think you can come and just sit and get and grow spiritually, and that's not the way God has designed our lives to operate. Thank you, Teresa. And you can give a... Thank you. Just if I say something you want to, you know, counteract, that's cool. Teresa, again, thank you so much. That's exactly the kind of stuff that's helpful for us.
And also with regard to serving and building into one another, I mean, that's an awesome opportunity. If anybody knows Teresa, it's a great way for somebody to say, hey, Teresa, how can I help you as a part of the community? How
that's
can
right.
I pull
that's
around
exactly
you
right.
and help serve you?
That's
you
know? Exactly right. Exactly.
Hi, I'm Elizabeth, and this is Devin.
Hi, Devin.
And Devin just had a question. We use the restroom, and he's wondering, why is the water that comes out of the sink so hot? We try and teach to wash after we use the bathroom, and he goes, ow, ow, ow. So not that kind of question, but it's a good question.
You know what? We'll get our building people on looking at it. I thought it was always too cold because the hot water heater is way back in this corner, and it takes you about until this service till any hot water gets over here.
Oh, no.
So now it's getting there too hot. One of us, how about we remember asking our building people that? It's a good question.
Yeah, the water's too hot.
Places.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
There are funny things about being in a building that was a warehouse. That's my answer to everything around here. If it leaks, it was a warehouse.
Yes.
If it's hot, it was a warehouse.
Hi, my name is Ellen, and recently I was reading a series of articles in the Inquirer about why people move back to Cincinnati. And one of the negative things they said that people on the outside of Cincinnati have a view of us is that we're racially divided because of the riots. And I think it's really, really great that we're pairing with a church in South Africa. But I'm wondering if we're ever going to take our video cams down to Over the Rhine and find a church down there like we found Washington Park School, which is down in the poorer sections of the city. And pair down there with, I'm sure there are some wonderful ministers down in that area, just like there are in South Africa. And I would like to, my mission here is with Kids Club, and I would like to really find some church-going people in a church down in that area that we could pair with.
We have, and we are.
Oh.
We have done that for the last 7 years, and actually we are even more extensive way right now with Calvin Harper, and also with Michael Dantley, who are fast becoming good friends of mine, and we're sitting around the table with them and some other people as well to talk about how we can partner as churches to have an impact with one another. And so, yeah, that's exactly where we are. And there's a lot of things, again, in 7 years that we've been building on, and it has not been the right time, and there's a lot of things that we're going to see more and more of. And the Thanksgiving food drive was an example of that, as you saw from the pastor who talked about how we're working with them and how they're distributing food.
Okay, I've been coming here for several years and I wasn't aware of a pairing like that.
Well, as far as an official relationship with a church, it's, again, part of it goes back to the thing of we don't want to invent anything, excuse me, if we don't have to. So a lot of it has been working through organizations in town that we feel is already doing a great job of it. You know, for instance, City Gospel Mission, that is a partnership with other churches of what we do down there. But some of the more specific links are things that are under the surface right now you wouldn't see right now. You know, Brian talking about right now there's two very prominent, predominantly Caucasian churches in town and two very prominent, predominantly African-American churches in town that are sitting at the table right now and saying, how can we do church together? We are one of those four churches. But there hasn't been anything above the radar screen on that yet.
Well, I would love to see their ministers come here and speak like the South African minister
yeah.
did.
Well, you know what? And you might very well see that this summer.
Okay, thanks.
Yeah, right here.
Hi, my name is Mitch. I just wondered, there seems to be a lot of single people here, and I wanted to know if there's a way to maybe have more projects and events directed towards single people.
Yeah, we the way that we have looked at the church overall is to try not to segment out people. A lot of, like my past church, once you were single in this age bracket, you had this group to be with, and then the next, you know, you graduated into another one, or if you had kids, you or got married, whatever, and there was this constant segmentation going on, and we've purposefully not done that here so that people are in community across all, you know, wherever you are in life at that point in time. And so when we look at Crossroads, at least half of our population is single. And so for us to have a singles ministry, in essence, would be like us having kind of a half of our church in a group together. And so what we've done is we've offered up like the Find a Team tool on the internet, our website, where people can go in and find an A team that they can be a part of. We've offered serving opportunities. There's all kind of the social. There's game night. There's dance. There's save room for dessert. All of those types of things, we've offered opportunities for people to come together and get connected in a way that helps them connect and meet with other people.
Well, as Teresa pointed out earlier, there seems to be challenges that are specific to single people, right? Raising children alone and just the, you know, having to work and the things that we have to do. And I just thought it might be nice to have some events or projects that are directed more toward what we
that's
do.
Good. And there could be some stuff that pops up like on that. Like we had a guy, people individually said, man, I want to help people recover from divorce. And that thing is a thriving thing right now. We had another one group of people said, man, we want to start this thing called Outlet, which is for people who are real young professionals, predominantly single. And they went for a while and they just recently decided, man, I think our run is done on that. Let's put that in the shelf for a while. So there could be other things that are going to pop up around here because people band together and make that happen that could be exactly what you're talking about, Mitch.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, Mitch.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I'm Yvonne. I guess I may have a flip side to all of that because I'm a single mother. I mean, I'd act like it, and I hope I don't, because I bring my children out. My children, we are the community. And for those of you who think that it's single, it's rough, yes, alone it is. But with God, all things are possible. He's provided. I got too much history behind me. You know, there's not enough hour room for it all. But when I came here, I came to serve. And I didn't come with any baggage to say, can you help me? I came to help. So for those of you that seem to carry this as such a heavy burden, I'm here to tell you that it can be lightened. And what I say to the four of you is that the vision that you have, do not waver. Do not waver. For God has a special plan here. And it is one that will impact the world. So do not worry about what others may say. You stick to what the main person has told you to do for this church, and that is God. He outnumbers everyone in all these services. So you stick to that.
Man, I think we're ready to go home now. Let's just end on that one.
I got to get some work done.
Yeah, let's get on it. What are we doing sitting here? Thank you, man. Yvonne, you continue to be a blessing. Thank you. Right here.
My name's Rob, and I've been to this church a handful of times, and I really enjoy it. Everyone's very friendly. It's a warm atmosphere, and I think that the non-traditional style really helps bring people, especially young people, to a church that, you know, maybe they wouldn't go to if it was maybe more traditional and whatnot. But, you know, I've gone to church my whole life, and I am used to maybe the traditional church setting, this kind of thing. And I was just wondering, when you started the church, you know, as far as, you know, I know there's no cross displayed, there's no communion, you know, is that something, I'm just wondering why maybe, or, you know.
I'm sorry, I'm going to need some time for this. You guys can jump in. This is one of my favorite questions. Thank you. Thank
sure.
you, Rob.
What, were you finished?
Oh,
yes,
yeah. I'm just trying to keep it moving along because I see people backed up. So if I'm appearing rude or to the point of trying to honor all of our time.
Well, you should.
See, now you just made me waste time. What is that about? When we started the church, we said we wanted to be a place where our friends who have not given up on God, but have given up on church where they can go. And there was plenty of traditional places. For whatever reason, they weren't going. And so we said, we want to design this thing from start to finish for our friends who are disconnected from God and from church. And so that's why we've done it the way we've done it. It's not right for everybody, but it's kind of what we feel God's put on our hearts. Communion is an example of something for some people is critical in the midst of a weekend service, and we totally respect that. We would see communion as something that's more appropriate at a next level service. We have our A-teams do communion. Also, if you take a look at the earliest communion, which is in the first century, it wasn't a part of church services. What it was is when Christ followers were together having meals, they went, hey man, you know, as I break this bread, you know what I'm thinking of right now? I'm thinking about Jesus broke his body for me. I'm so thankful he broke his body. But gosh, as I had this wine, or alcohol-free grape juice, I'm kind of thinking to myself, this reminds me of how Jesus shed his blood for me. Let's just celebrate that and just thank God for what he's done. That was the earliest communion service. It wasn't an official thing that took place in a setting like this. That doesn't mean it doesn't work that way or can happen that way, but that's kind of how we've seen all the pieces fitting together. So one of the things I'd say, Robin, I'm going to use you just to do something I've been doing at every service. Here's an example of different places out there who do it differently. All of us, if you call yourself a Christ follower, are part of the capital C church, and then small C churches or local communities like Crossroads or wherever. And here's like eight of them, for instance, that are in the Cincinnati area that are different than Crossroads. One of them is High Park United Methodist Church. And if you're saying, man, for me, a critical thing for me to be part of a small C thing is more tradition, more of those elements. That's beautiful. You're going to get that there more than you'll ever get here. And we celebrate how God's uniquely made them. These different churches up there, Christ Emmanuel does a lot more social action than we do here in the city. St. Cecilia, some of us are going, man, I can't get away from my Catholicism. Well, maybe you shouldn't. Maybe you shouldn't. There's a great one right down the street, St. Cecilia. You might want to look at that. Wellspring Community Church of God with Carl Franco. Rising Community Church is another one that we started that music is less edgy than ours. Some people go, man, music is way too loud. Music has always been the most polarizing thing we've ever done around here. Some people want more of it. Some people want less of it. Some people want more singing. Some people want less singing. Some people want louder decibels. Some want less decibels. Some people want, you know, cheesy organ music. Some people want, AC/DC. You know, I mean, it's kind of all in there. And that has a softer edge to us.
And when you say cheesy, you mean that in the most affirming, loving.
Yes. Well, actually, we have great organ music today. I was totally digging what was happening on organ today. And then some people say, man, I want more participation on the weekend where I'm actually engaged more in worship and more expressive worship. Two great ones for you, Vineyard Community Church with Dave Workman, and also one they started with Matt Massey, North Star Vineyard Loveland, and then finally there's another one over New Hope. So these are just examples of, we're not saying that this is the way to do church. God calls a bunch of different churches for different purposes. What we are saying is, you got to have a church that you're a part of. This kind of Christian at large, rove around the community and just kind of cherry pick different churches at different times, it's not the way God has designed your spiritual life to operate. We need to be under the authority of a church where we are contributing, committed, being built into, we're building to others. So I'm sorry to use yours to get in my little platform. Do you have a follow-up you want to give that, Rob?
Thank you, Rob.
Thank you.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Hi.
And by the way, when I'm getting excited there, I'm not getting mad at Rob. Sometimes I get excited and it seems like I get mad at somebody. I'm not. Just kind of get excited. Why?
Shut up.
Because I can. Okay. Yeah.
See, now you just wasted time.
I did waste time. Good.
Hi, my name's Sandra, and I've only been here a few times, but just so you know, every time I come, I always want to come back even more. And I'm from a small Southern Baptist church in Kentucky, and I really like the views here, and it, you know, I just would like to be a member of this church, but I guess here lately I've been struggling with a lot of issues. I'm a 23-year-old single mom, and, you know, I've done it on my own. My daughter's 4 years old, and I guess I haven't really found a church where I found people that are dealing with the same kind of issues that I am. I mean, I'm trying to be a mother and raise a child, but then again, I'm struggling with the fact that I'm 23 and I want to be young and I want to have fun. And I guess, the past couple years, my relationship with God has grown a lot, but I was fighting it for so long, and now I'm just done fighting it and I'm here. And I guess I'm just looking for people that are just kind of like me, and not saying that I don't like to hang out with older people, but,
you know, people that are in my age group that kind of understand the issues that, you know, younger people go through and, you know, something. You know, I don't know if you guys have a group here like that.
I can't say enough about using our website and the Find a Team tool, because basically what you're able to do is go in there and write what you just said, and then other people are able to see that and connect with you. And, I mean, it is, we hear stories, I just cannot, I wish I had an hour to sit here and tell stories of people who just had a story just like yours, who put it on there, and other people were able to come alongside and connect with them. Yeah. And it works, because we've seen it over and over again.
And I can think of a few people just, you know, who serve in First Impressions, who serve in Kids Club, who are in the exact same scenario as you are, and you'll start seeing more and more of those people. In fact, I'd say to all of you in here going, gosh, I feel like her. Well, watch where she goes and sits down. Really, watch where she goes and sits down.
I'm the only one here with a crutch.
It connects.
So you can't miss me.
There you go.
And you know what? Also, I would say to both of those is I think this whole weekend there's been a real thread of something God's doing here with younger single parents. And I would really say you need to think long and hard if you're a young single parent and you don't get on that website within the next 48 hours and post something, because I think God's doing something here that could be a place for you to experience real community, both you to be used to help to get to know somebody else and, you know, to receive something back. So,
is there anything else I can do if I don't have internet access? I feel bad saying that, but I don't.
No. You know what?
That's good.
Call here at the office and we'll help
you.
Okay. Molly is
right there. Let me step in here. I'm annexing in from the video cafe.
Molly's on staff.
What I want to say is for moms out there that are struggling, we talked about it this morning, Time Out for Moms is happening. Huh? Like coming up this week. I'm out of breath. Gosh.
Work out.
But I just want to say there are moms that are connecting over a lot of different issues. Single moms, moms with kids, even women that are expecting babies who aren't yet having kids to hold and deal with and all that. So I would say if you're a mom struggling or you're just a mom, period, and you're looking to develop some relationships and build some friendships, that's a great thing. Yep. And moms are sharing babysitting, too. One mom watches the kids, another mom goes, that kind of thing. Yeah. So
I call the office, too, and we'll, if you don't have internet access, we'll
use our computers.
We will get you connected because it really is. And the last thing I would say to anybody is serving on a team around here. You know, Kids Club has a special program for people who are serving, come into church one service and serving another, where the kids go and have a whole separate program called Adventure Club, which frees you up to then be able to come and serve, which then, connects you with all kind of people you're on a team with and working with. And so,
good. So a lot of these, you can go more depth if you come to Open House, and we have child watching, I think, for those too. So, again, this is just top line stuff, and so I'm going to.
We call it child care.
Child care, yes. Have your binoculars and watch them. Do you see what that kid did? Go ahead.
Hi, my name is Jacqueline, and I was just wondering if you could talk a little bit about the ownership process and what the role is of an owner.
Yes, we used to have what was called governing members. By the way, if you call yourself this church your home, guess what? You're a member. Congratulations. Yeah, I'm a member. You know, but for some people who really want an increased level of commitment, we have what's called ownership. We call it ownership as opposed to membership because membership has its privileges. And anybody who's an owner of anything knows that ownership has its responsibilities. And so there's an ownership process that you can go through that enables you to do things like vote on who's going to be our spiritual directors and stuff like that. And Open House is the place to find out about that. And we talk about that in Open House.
I'm Robert.
Hey, Robert.
What's up? This is a money question. I wanted to know, how do you guys handle the money and how do you make financial decisions? Do you invest any of the money that's given to you or consider creating an enterprise where you could take the money and fund a mission?
Boy, that's good. Let me take that one. We have a spiritual directors or volunteers oversee like the salary structure and stuff of the church. They're aware of all that, you know, all that stuff that's going on and oversee that whole structure, do things like set my salary. Then outside of that, it's a whole process as far as how we spend money the volunteers who are as ministry leaders are contributing in and staff members and all that stuff. And it's a yearly budget process that we go through. We have chosen to not use our money for investments. We believe that people have given money and God gives us church money to invest immediately into lives, into life change efforts. Sometimes we have a surplus, cash surplus on hand, just because we haven't had the ability yet to kind of find out where God wants us to put that. But we've had a strong philosophy from the beginning that we were not going to play the stock market and stick money someplace and kind of gamble with that money. So money goes immediately to figuring out, God, where would you have us put that money?
Is there any type of open book plan that people can see?
Yeah, you can. You could call the office and you could get like a copy of our most recently passed budget, the one that we're operating off of. Yes.
Okay, thank you.
Uh-huh. And we also do an external CPA report every year. We just got that back. You can ask to see that if you'd like. External audit. Yeah.
Hi, I'm Judy, and I know that I've talked to many of you many a times before. I've been coming several months now. And I know a lot of people, I mean, from little kids to older people, women, men, children, whoever, if I don't always give them a ride or if they don't have a way of getting here, either walking or taking a bus or with a friend or whatever, are you ever going to have like a church bus that might be able to pick some of these people up so that they can come to one of the three services?
Probably not. I mean, we might, never know what couldn't happen, but maybe. But probably not, and here's why, is because that's a classic example of ways that we all need to take responsibility in this thing. And if we know of people who are like that, we personally can take advantage of going out and serving individuals. It doesn't always have to be an organizational-led thing where the church makes that happen. And so for us to get into the bus business, maintaining buses, doing that is not a core competency probably that you're going to see us operating in.
And you know what? We should probably make a time note here.
Yes, we'll do two more, and even that's going to be hard. Sorry, everybody, if you can come back the next service. Or
we're down front afterwards.
Or we're down front. Yes, sorry. Yes.
Hi, my name's Melissa. I've never been here before. It's my first time. And I can't help but know that I just dropped my kids off into Kids Club.
Yeah.
And I have no idea what they're learning in there or what they're doing or... Does Kids Club correspond with what the church is doing, like the same lessons or teachings?
You know what? If you'll flip open the program that you got when you walked in, it tells us every week in there what each group is learning back there. And then you're welcome to touch bases with their teachers back there or even fill out a visitor thing and stay for – it's not a visitor. They have a – You have to register to be able to be in a classroom because our restrictions are so tight on safety. But sometimes it corresponds with what's going on over here. Sometimes what's here isn't appropriate over there. But they're on a curriculum plan over there that they are so excited about. Go ask any of them, and they'll start filling your ear on it. So
they do operate on the same principles. Obviously, what we're communicating about the Bible and God exactly the same. But even on the same learning style principle, what happens back there is teaching God's truth in a way that's appropriate for that age, in a manner in which they best learn, which is the exact same thing that we do in here. We work on an adult learning model in here of what are the different ways that people learn, tactile, experiential, all that different stuff, that best communicate God's truth to who we are today. They're doing the exact same thing back there, just not always on the same topic.
Last one, right here.
My name is Carrie.
Hi, Carrie.
And I sort of have a technical question. It's about the lighting in here. I can't see my Bible, and I was just wondering what your thoughts are on that. I come to church, and I have a thirst to flip through the Word of God, and I can't really read it. So I was just wondering why that is, or just your thoughts on
that. Well, that's good, and I'd love to give you a 30-second answer, but I can't, so I'll give you a longer one. The lighting and everything that we do in here in the weekend, we do to think through, all right, if our friends who weren't going to church before this week come in, which is what most of the people in here consist of, what is the lighting that's going to make them feel safe so we can make them feel unsafe by what we say from up here? And most people who are coming in are friends who weren't going to church before and don't know Christ, aren't bringing their Bibles. And so we don't think about lighting levels so you can read your Bible on the weekend. We do at our next level service, which is for people who want to go to the next level and dig in the Bible deep. You can bring your Bible here. Great, go for it. Love to have you bring it. But we have the lighting levels to really help facilitate people who need to feel safe and need to feel like, gosh, I don't want everyone looking at me so I can focus what's going on up here. And then next level, you notice the lighting is different. We actually tell people at next level, if you come to next level, you don't bring your Bible, you're naked. And so that's kind of a difference and how we operate there. Good one. And sit in the front row. You can see here, too. All right, man, these are good questions. You never know what's going to happen every service. It's different. And this is just to help you figure out, is this crazy church the one you're supposed to be a part of? And if it's not this one, it's not this one. There is one that you're supposed to be a part of. God does not want any of us to be spiritual consumers at large, just go from place to place, picking a place. In the first century, when the church first started, you were lucky if you had a church in your town. And then you sucked it up with all the stuff that you didn't like about it. Because it was the only game in town. Well, now in America, we've got like dozens and dozens and dozens of games in town. And you're always going to find a church that is not going to be exactly what you want it to be. There's no perfect church. And if you do find the perfect church, guess what? It's not perfect anymore because you're there. You know? And this church isn't perfect anymore because I'm here. You know? So as soon as I came, this church wasn't perfect anymore. But there's this thing of being able to bear with one another and serve with one another while God builds into us. And hopefully you got a better perspective today as to what God would have you do as far as local church involvement.
Oh, and also your name, if he gives your name.
My name's Diane Vitaliano.
And your sign.
I recently started coming to Crossroads probably about 6-7 weeks ago. And I started coming at a time in my life where God really came into my life and I turned my life over to him. And doing this is different and it's new and it's very rewarding. I love it. I mean, this is the best time in my whole life. But I don't always know what his will for me is. And I just wonder, can you help me? Can you show me, tell me what to look for? Do I feel? Because right now I don't really know exactly what his will is. You know, I don't trust my own instinct sometimes with that.
Well, and obviously we will not do, you know, complete justice to that question here, but my like kind of little soundbite on it was that, and a lot of us, it's a question that probably all of us struggle with. It's one of the, I think the main questions that I've heard from people here is, how do I know exactly what God's purpose is for my life, you know? And I think that the overall soundbite for that is God has been very specific about what his plan for our life is, and it's revealed in his word, the Bible. And that by reading that and asking God to help us apply that to our life, we see very clearly he's got a picture of what a follower of Christ looks like in the Bible. And his will for us is that we, in increasing ways, grow to be closer and closer to that picture and honoring him and what our life looks like. So what will happen is you will... If you're anything like anybody else I've talked to, you will always have that question for the rest of your life. Part of that question is what he has planted in you, because it's going to be like peeling an onion and will be increasing levels of things that he wants to do in your life and ways that he wants to grow in you that may be totally different 10 years from now than right now. The one constancy will be the picture that he's revealed in the Bible of what he wants to grow us.
And I'd also do a build on that. That's exactly what we're doing in the Crazy Church series, is because you can read the Bible and should, but at the same time, we need each other. We need to be in a community where people are speaking truth to us, where they're helping us, where we're helping them. It doesn't mean you only spend time in the one community, but that's part of what you get by being committed to a local church, is people building into you and understanding the seasons that you're in and offering counsel.
And on one specific facet of that, we are going to look into, though, this next year. We're going to do a series this next year on decision making. How do we go about making healthy decisions in our life based on God's plan for us?
Hi, my name's Debbie.
Hi, Debbie.
I have just kind of a story to tell, and then you understand why I'm asking. The past 2 weeks, we had carbon monoxide in our home, which was real scary because we could have all died. I have a 16-month-old baby. Then a week later, my mom was in a serious car accident, and she's okay now. But we were supposed to get our furnace put in to move back to our home, and the guy that was supposed to do it, his mom had a stroke. So it's so hard to keep the faith, you know. Where is God in this? Where is he protecting us? I know he saved our lives from the carbon monoxide. My mom's still alive. But, you know, how do you keep the faith and believe that God's there when all you get is bad luck? And that's how I feel with my family, is everywhere we turn, where's the good?
Well, I'll take a first crack at that. I think if we see this life as the opportunity for us to feel good, this life will only ever disappoint us. This life will constantly be filled with pain. It will constantly be filled with turmoil. One of the reasons that is, not the only reason, but one of the reasons that is because it is in the midst of difficulty and tension that God can do a unique work on forming our hearts that we can't get when we're sitting on the beach. And so I think that's the role that a church plays too. Well, you need to have people around you that are encouraging you, who are building you up, and who are participating in the growth process, because God's doing something unique in your heart right now that sucks. You hate it. It's like I've heard everyone define boot camp. After they go through boot camp, something you never want to go through again, but something you're so glad you did. And so this is probably one of those boot camp times for you where God's going to be spiritually strengthening in a way that you wouldn't normally have it. And one of the ways you're going to keep your sanity is hopefully by having people around you that give you strength that you don't have of your own right now.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Hi, I'm Bev Benz, and I'm thinking about the growth of Crossroads and how wonderful that is, but I have some fear about getting too large too fast. And how do you guys feel about that, and what kind of controls do you have to keep it from getting less personal? For us.
Is that your fear that it becomes less personal?
Yes.
Is that it? Yeah, I would. We've never ever sat back and said we're going to be about growth of numbers. It just has never happened. In fact, we tell the story of the day that we found out that we could actually get this property. We had decided to slow down growth, to intentionally try to slow it down, and God kind of sent us in a different direction. Our intent is to offer people a place to come and be on a spiritual journey. And with that mission, it means that people are constantly curious about whether or not a new relationship with God or a growing relationship with God. And it's really interesting because when we went from one service to two services, people said exactly what you just said. And we went from two to three, and we moved to this building. And so I think that the simplified answer to that is the way that every one of us in this room have had a seat to come and be a part of Crossroads, our goal is to make sure that people continue to have that opportunity. And if that means growth in numbers, then we're just willing to do whatever God's leading in terms of that. And if people are coming, then we're going to continue to try to figure out a way to have seats for people, because the seats then bounce people into opportunities to serve and to grow spiritually and to learn about God. And that's exciting. So, you know, NA teams are really the answer, you know, to finding our serving teams or whatever place you want to connect with people on a tighter level. The way it was at the very beginning when there were 12 people who had the vision of starting the church, it came out of an A team at that point, which is what we call our small groups, and it'll continue to be that way as a way to connect with people. So.
I think it's a valid fear too, Bev, and I think that there are some unique opportunities or abilities that you have in a small church, and there's some unique opportunities and abilities you have in a larger church. The fact of the matter is, no matter how big Crossroads gets at this point, it really is not going to feel any different to the average person here. I mean, a long time ago, for instance, in a small church, you can always have personal time with the pastor. Well, a long time ago, the average person here at Crossroads just doesn't have, I don't have that anymore in my schedule for a variety of reasons. There's a whole bunch of other things that are bridges that we cross, which are the right decisions in the past several years. That means that today, the way we function as a church, our current compassion efforts, our personal caring efforts, the way we nurture people, those systems are in place and aren't going to feel any different to the average person than it does right now. Most of you right now, I have no idea who you are. I've never shaken your hand. You know, I wish I did. I wish I could. It would be awesome. That'd be fine. But it's not like if our church gets, when our church is going to get bigger, it's going to feel any less different to you now than it probably would. So.
But it's a tension we have to continue. Every day we ask ourselves that same thing. It's a tension. And for me, I think the answer, at least part of the answer that God has blessed us with for that, is that we will be getting too big when we get to the point where we stop becoming about other people. You know, that is, so there's this temptation, everything in life, there's this temptation, when we started Crossroads 7.5 years ago, there were a dozen of us. A dozen of us that have found probably the sweetest community we had ever had in our life and some of the most real friendships. And the temptation for us, let me tell you, was to circle the wagons and squeeze everything we could out of that. And that's been the temptation in every phase along this way, whether it's 12 or it's 5,000 now, that's the temptation. So our tension we need to feel is be very clear about that and very cognizant of it, but say, we need to keep giving this thing away. We don't need to circle the wagons. We need to keep giving it away. And if we start to hold things really tightly, like in your ministry team, you're leading something back in Kids Club, and you're not looking for a way to give stuff away to new people so they can enjoy the pleasure of doing it with you, that's when we're over the line.
And I might say, too, some of these questions I can sense are going to be bigger questions for us, and I'm going to allow us to spend a lot of time answering because I think it meets to a lot of people. Some of you are going to ask questions that are important to you, but I don't think most people are really going to want a deep, deep answer on, so just don't be offended if we give you a four-word answer. But I do have a specific mechanism that's going to keep us small later on, so I'll come back to that. Yeah.
Yes, good morning.
Good morning.
My name is David Durrett, and this is the first time I visited Crossroads. And
you're a courageous man. First time, and you got the spotlight on you. You're the man.
Which, by the way, this is what we do every weekend.
Yes. Normally we're naked.
We don't ever really do church. We get up here and we talk about it every week.
Being the first time, it was wonderful to smell the coffee. why is it so dark in here? It's like a theater type of atmosphere. And, I mean, from what most of us has been familiar with the theater type of atmosphere. So how do we take this type of atmosphere and transition to still praise and worship God in it?
Todd, why don't you hit that, and then I'll
clean up any... Well, our primary function on the weekend is to be about being a place where we can bring our friends or where our friends would feel comfortable who may sort of be on the fringes of kind of checking out who God is, maybe not really sure exactly what they believe, but they kind of want to come and check it out. And we call that seeking or trying to figure out who God is. And one of the things we found, just as sort of a natural function of doing life with people, is that sort of walking into an atmosphere with bright lights and, you know, ooh, everybody can look at me, sort of is contrary to that, the type of atmosphere we want to create for that. And so by keeping the lights a little dimmer in the auditorium, it allows people to walk in, feel a sense of anonymity, to come in and to be in the midst of community, but still to sort of have a safe place to come and hear what is often a dangerous message without feeling like they're being looked at.
We want to make people have a safe place to hear a dangerous message. And Sunday is just one of many tools that we have as a church to help people. So if you came to a next level service, which is a service we do on Wednesdays for people who want to go to the next level and understanding and growing with Christ, you'll notice that the lights are higher because we're telling people, if you ain't come with your Bibles to the next level, you're naked. You're naked, and we want you to be able to read your own Bible at the next level, whereas our friends who I'm inviting to come here, they don't have a Bible, they're not coming in, and I don't need to think about how they can read their Bible, say. I need to think about, I want them to feel safe, so then they can feel unsafe by what's spoken from the stage. And so that's how we do it, and that's how God has kind of worked in our midst. It's not the only way, but it's the way we feel is right for us.
And on an executional basis, that plays out in everything. The lighting that's in here, having coffee out there, the video clips that we might use during the message, the kind of music, all of it is designed to create a safe place to hear the dangerous life.
You mentioned the coffee. The coffee is a perfect example. We didn't put coffee out there so my wife didn't have to make coffee for herself at the house. We put coffee out there because our friends would make them feel comfortable. When you have something in your hand, you can kind of hide behind it. And then we don't charge for it because that's just cheap. Put your 50 cents in the cup, please. Great to have you here, but we'll take the 50 cents. And so that all those decisions are about how to level the playing field so we can really speak to each other real and challenge one another.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Welcome.
That's a good one. These are good ones. You know, some services, it's like, oh, man, this is painful. This one's a good one. I like this. Don't mess it up.
Sure. Good morning. My name is Chrissy Little. I've been coming here with my husband for about 2 years now, and we love it. We come on Sundays, and occasionally we come on Wednesday, and I feel like we learn so much, and it's just a great experience, a great opportunity for us. But I guess it's kind of similar to Bev's question. I feel a little bit overwhelmed by the size. I've gone to churches before that were smaller, and I felt like it was, you know, very easy to connect to a small group and to study the Bible and to learn more. And I feel like I don't know, maybe I'm just not taking charge enough, but it's like I don't know how to learn more and kind of take the next step. The first step I feel like is pretty easy, but, you know, A-teams, I've heard about that. I don't know how to, maybe it's very executional, but I don't know how to do it. How do I get more involved and kind of
have you been to Open House yet?
No.
Open House is a great thing that I'll refer to us to. It's the next step to really ask all of those specific questions. So someone could take a real quick sound bite at that right now, but that's a place that we offer once a month to answer and help that specific issue.
Yeah. The easiest. Get on the computer and go to our website and then go to find a team, and you can post in there exactly what you'd like to look for in some type of a Bible study or an accountability team or a place just to be real with people. And it's a fascinating thing to watch people get connected through that. You can specify if you want singles, couples, going through divorce, whatever that looks like for you, to find kind of a smaller venue for you to connect with people. I just had a woman stop me after this, and she said, you know, I feel like I'm on the outside and y'all are the inner circle and I can't break through around here. And I just started laughing. I said, well, I feel like I'm on the outside sometimes because I don't know the people who are here because it's so many people. And so it's not there's no inner circle at Crossroads. I think there may be at some churches, and maybe that's why she was assuming that. But I connect with people the same way. In fact, if I am looking to start an A-team, I'm going to use our Find a Team tool. So it's a great, quick way to get connected.
Yes.
Okay, thanks.
Good. Yeah, maybe let me do that slide. I think it might be appropriate.
Yeah.
And we'll come right to you, man. But I think there's a couple people who are hitting the same, similar things. Here's the thing. This is not like the way to do church in Cincinnati. This is not the church in Cincinnati. It's not. It's one of many. And there's a bunch of others that you might want to look at that offer things and major in areas that we maybe don't major in as much as you'd like. Some of us, man, there's just not enough tradition here for us. Hyde Park United Methodist Church is for you. Good place. Don Dixon's a good dude. You might want to try that. Another one, Christ Emmanuel Christian Fellowship. Much more involved in some of the social concerns that are happening. We are as well, but they major in that much more. Bishop Michael Dantley is there. You might want to check that out. St. Cecilia Church, a great Catholic church over here. Some of you are like, I don't know if I can get away from the Catholic church. Well, maybe you shouldn't. Maybe you shouldn't, and maybe you're just wrong and our Catholic church isn't working for you. It's a great one for you to try out. Wellspring Community Church, the church is a bit smaller than us. Like if you're thinking, man, this is getting too big. They're smaller than us. They're very similar. They're about a half hour away in Westchester. You might want to go there. Horizon Community Church. We started that one in Indian Hill. People regularly get upset about the music here. We find that the music is the most polarizing thing that we do. Most of us like it, but a large percentage of us say, well, it's not enough. There's too much. There's, you know, too loud, not loud enough, you know, whatever, whatever. When that one has the edge, kind of Crossroads music with the edge off. You know, Muzak Crossroads, if you will. No, it's not.
In a good way.
Yeah, okay. And some of us go, hey, man, I want more, like, quote, praise and worship on a weekend service. I want to be more demonstrative. I want to be, like, standing up for having six songs in a row where I can sway back and forth. That's what I want in the weekend. Hey, Vineyard is for you. Vineyard Community Church in Tri-County, where Dave Workman is, also Matt Massey at North Star Vineyard. Man, you might love, those places might be more in line with who God's called you to be. And New Hope Church over on the west side is another church you might want to try. Well, I'll pull these up here. Our goal is not to get big. We've never had a numeric goal. It's not to get big. Our goal is to help people understand who Jesus is and to be aggressive in touching our community. And if this place is not the best place for you, there's a heck of a lot of other places that might be best for you. And all we're saying is find a place. There must be a place. This thing that many of us have as American Christians of, I'm a Christian at large. And I just kind of rove around, and whichever is the church of the day that makes me feel better or gives me what I want, I'm just going to go there and consume that. That's not the way the Bible has designed Christianity or a relationship with God to operate. We need to be a part of a local C church that's building into us and that we're a vibrant part of. And so we're doing this because for some of us it's going to cement, this is the place. And for other of us, we go, wow, this is so helpful for me because this is not the place. And that's cool. That's okay. Right here. Thank
Hi,
you for standing
my name's
there
Christy Payne. You're welcome. question about, I haven't been here in a while, but you talk about growth. I have like so many questions, but the one that I guess really stands out is you talk about growth. And just now you said your goal is to reach out. Growth with spiritual growth, not growth with the church. It's humongous. I mean, I come and so many people, but so many not really. They're on their own little, you know, or their own people. They don't say a lot of highs or anything. But so it can be kind of cold at that same aspect. But is your goal reaching out to people and allowing them to grow? Or is your goal reaching out to people and showing them God? Is it to show them God and help them grow, or is it to show them God?
Well, and I think that it's summed up in what our main thing is at Crossroads, you know, is that we are about connecting seekers with a community of growing Christ followers. And what's built into that, some of you might be familiar with the term Great Commission. It's basically what were Jesus' final marching orders to the troops as he left this earth. In the New Testament of the Bible, where he says that basically there's two halves to it. There's the thing of going and sharing this good news that you can have this relationship with God restored, and there's creating a place where everybody can grow. There's two halves of that. Well, that's built into our mission statement at Crossroads, connecting seekers with a community of growing Christ followers. So we are about both. I think that often that Crossroads, you know, kind of from an outside standpoint, the impression can be that we are all about this weekend thing. You know, that gentleman asked the previous question about why are the lights dim, and we talked about, well, hey, safe place to hear a dangerous message and all that. Often because that is that becomes what people think. That is what Crossroads is about. That is one piece of this. We are about all of us growing to be a more fully devoted follower of Christ and what that looks like for all of us. It just so happens, now this is gospel according to me here, okay, so I want to be careful, but it just so
which
happens.
Which is gospel.
As well,
that's what you said anyway.
Talk to my wife afterwards. Yeah. He'll clear up a lot of things. What happens is, in the last 30 years, it's this thing that most churches have dropped from their repertoire. They've said, we're about circling the wagons and being a place where we can all grow. This outreach thing, people that think different from us, people that come in and say, I don't believe in this Jesus guy, or who says the Bible's true and all that, that gets so offensive to us, we say, I don't want to hang out with those people. So what we do is we say, this is a safe place for our people, for our friends, and we all have a ton of them, who are at various different places asking very scary questions about God that we all still ask in a lot of different ways. But we also are about all of us growing to be a more fully devoted follower. So if you wanted a little bit of peek into what's the overall strategy for, okay, it's obvious Crossroads takes this piece serious, what about the rest of this? I'd say that a couple of weeks ago during this series, when we did the thing on crazy growth, where I talked about the five windows, that is our strategy for all of us growing here, that we want to be a place that takes real serious people who are wrestling with the relationship with Christ and what that means, people that are in crisis, people reaching out cross-culturally and serving, people developing as leaders and serving others, and people sharing their story with each other. That's our overall model for growth here for all of us, whether it be the person who just walked in off the street or Brian Tome.
Great. Thank you. Right here. Thank you.
Hi, my name is Carolyn McMahon. I've been coming here about a year, and I love this church. I do. I do have a couple of questions. In Kids Club, when my grandchildren come out of Kids Club, they're excited. And they've learned something, some biblical truth, whether it be sharing, whether it be whatever. They learn something. And, of course, I always learn something, too. But when my grandson comes out of CSM and I question him and we talk about it, the only thing he ever tells me is that they play. They play games. Well, what my question is that all there is for the CSM group, or is there like a next level that we have but geared to that age group? Because I'm concerned about that age group. They're questioning everything and trying everything, but it seems that we aren't offering them anything.
Well, with all due respect, your relative that I can't remember if you said a son or grandson.
Grandson. My grandson.
He's not being a good communicator of what's happening there. My daughter's there. She's grown like leaps and bounds, you know, and there's different parts of that ministry, too. So there is games back there, but it's similar to how we do stuff, Tommy Boy clips here. Uh-huh. You know, you got to loosen people up and have fun before anybody wants to hear anything. So there's major content happening back there.
And
so.
You said that in kind of a humorous way, but I do think there's a reality there just from the standpoint of teenage boys, I think, would probably be the least equipped communicators as far as what they're learning. I used to be the brand manager on Clearasil. I used to sit behind a two-way mirror and try to get teenage boys to talk about pimples. And let me tell you. So getting them to talk, the only thing harder than getting them to talk about pimples is getting them to talk about what's God doing in your life. Kind of thing. So I have seen some of the amazing stuff that's going on back there. I do think that they're using a learning model similar to what we do in here, which is communicating relevant biblical truths in a very culturally age-appropriate way. For them. So you know what? I would encourage in some way for you to maybe spend some time to ask that question to some of the leaders that are back there.
You can even go and sit in on that.
Back there, or even sit in on
it.
Sit
in a little hour.
Good question.
Great concern, though, too. Great question. Great concern to have.
Here we go. Hello.
Hi.
Hello. My name's Mike Myoung, and I want to thank the whole church, the whole group, because you brought the message to me in a very real one-on-one kind of a way, even among millions of people, it seems.
Well, thousands.
Ever hope so.
Only matter of time, right?
Overtime, who knows? Anyway, my question has to deal with the policy of marriages within the church. And do you perform any weddings in the church? And how that seems to be one aspect that I do not hear much about.
Yeah, there's a lot of things that you all don't hear about just because we can't have announcements for 30 minutes every Sunday. And we do marry people, yes. You're asking me personally at this point, given who the unique role I need to do here on our church, I only do weddings for people who I personally know and are my personal friends. But we have other people on staff and other people who are part of our church that nurture the whole premarital process. We don't do marriages. We try to prepare people for marriages. And that ends with us helping people do a ceremony, actually having a person who's commissioned, ordained by the state to actually do the ceremony. And it's one of the things that we're growing in. It's grown constantly over the last 7 years, and our premarital process is better now than it was 7 years ago, but it's not what it's going to be in 5 years. We're continually trying to improve that.
Could you elaborate a little bit on what the process, I mean, is there like a
best
program
thing
that you've done, or?
Yeah, well, where it starts is you just call up the office or you stop by the info table and drop off your name, and they'll get you a packet. I think it's titled something like Getting Married at Crossroads or something, and it outlines the whole process of how we want to build into you preparing for your marriage and what that process looks like. It's usually about a 6-month process leading up to the wedding, but there's a whole packet that outlines that whole thing.
Okay, thank you. Once again, thank you for communicating like one-on-one, even in a huge group.
You're welcome. Thanks for your great question.
Thanks for being part of it.
Hi, my name is John Gray, and my question really is towards the whole community aspect.
What size jacket do you wear, John? I'm sorry.
This is a 4XL.
What is a what?
4X.
Dude, all right. 4X. All right, go ahead, John.
I can't wear
it. I
don't
want to
wear like a tank
anything
top.
Anything other than that.
Yeah, it can't be a tank top. I'm like Britney Spears. So. But my question is, when we talk about the community aspect of the church, and I'm a new... member is that one of those baggage words?
No, that's a good word.
Okay. I'm a new member. But one of the things when we talk about community, you got Evanston a couple miles up that way. You've got Madisonville a couple miles down that way. And for me, again, growing up in a predominantly African-American church, and this may not be across the board, but my experience was there weren't a lot of tools to help young people really begin the dialogue to have a real relationship. And it's so critical in those formative stages to get these young people into a place where they can have some real dialogue. I mean, kids are not trying to rock Bibles to church on Sunday. And if they saw something like this on a regular basis, I think it would stir that seed that the Lord has in them. Is there a way that we can really begin to bridge the gap, you know, into those communities that I would say are underserved from a spiritual standpoint, especially in the black community? And again, I'm not trying to turn into like Jesse Jackson in the middle of the service, but I really feel that when we talk about community, we've got a lot of people around here that need to have this kind of word and this kind of exposure to this experience. How can we be deliberate in initiating contact to get these young people off these streets and into a loving community where they can begin that process?
Take that one.
We right now are actually working behind the scenes with 3 other churches, 2 that us and another who are predominantly Caucasian, and then 2 that are predominantly African American, to begin to look at, okay, how do we take all the things that are good in Cincinnati that want to serve people, especially, I mean, we all have such a heartbeat for the kids, and bring them together so that there's a united force that's trying to help. So it's not one church going and trying to do this or two churches. It's this coalition of very impactful churches in the city who are making a strategic effort to join together and make an impact. And so that's going on behind the scenes. You'll hear a lot more about it coming up. We are just committed to it. You know, there's been such a racial divide in Cincinnati that I think has almost thwarted some of the efforts to do something exactly like you just said. And so we're really excited that we're getting to the other side of that, hopefully, as a city. Yep. I believe we are, personally. And it's opening up the door for us to do that type of thing. And it's fun. I mean, you know, it's really like to be at this place finally where you know that there's something really happening behind the scenes that once it breaks and once the plan is in place, we're going to see change. And it's just exciting to see. So
in many ways, we're still in foundation mode. I mean, don't be fooled by the size of our church. We're a 7-year-old church. We've got 7-year-old systems. Some of the expectations that people have on us is as unfair as expecting the 5-year-old who I know a 5-year-old who's like 5 feet tall. I really do. It had expectations just because he's big. Well, hey, no, the kid's 5 years old. The kid's 5 years old, and so we're 7 years old, and we're building our foundation here as a church. That over the next several years, you're going to see more effort to build this foundation. And in building this foundation, which is all the core ministries of this church, the things that are really touching those of us who are here on a day-to-day basis, we're able to put more and more things on top of that foundation. And the things that are on top of that, we're able to grow up more and more. So it's constantly a dance where you don't just say, okay, well, how much are we going to give here? How much are we going to do here? How much are we going to do here? You say, look, what is it we as a church are called to? And what's on top of this? And then we need to be strategic about doing what we feel is right for us with God. And for some people, they'll say, no, you know what? You should have this over on top of here. And we say, no, we don't think we should. Maybe other churches will, but not us. Some people say, man, you need to be put more into this thing here. And we say, well, I respect that. Maybe we'll think about that. But we really feel before God and all the planning and process we've gone through, we're putting the right amount of effort in that thing. And
but
so,
you know what? People think that we start all the ministries that are around here. We really don't. I mean, we just recognize when a group of people have formed together and there's leadership there and something's happening, and we just say, great, you know, how do we support that happening? So if anybody wants to do that, you know, let's start it going. I know somebody who's doing, you know, Christmas for their neighborhood down at Pendleton, and a bunch of us are coming together to help make Christmas presents for people. I mean, there's so many. We support City Hospital Mission, all those. So start it. Do it. That's what we're here for. We try to take the bureaucracy out of church so that people can go.
We are the church. It's not this is the church. Mm-hmm. We are the church. And so if you've got a passion about something, maybe the idea is that there should be an organizational structure across us, but really the first thing is, okay, what does God want me personally to do? We only have time for two more. I'm sorry all the rest of you are waiting. You can come down and grab us afterwards or go to an open house. We got two. I'm so, so sorry. So sorry. Sorry. So we'll go here and then right over here with you, ma'am.
Hi, my name's Debbie Oliva, and my question is a follow-up question to the wedding. What about funerals?
Do those too.
So obviously you don't have as much time, so you would call the church.
Yeah, just call the church.
Okay.
Yeah, we do. People just don't see it, but we do all of the weddings, funerals. There's we have a number of commissioned, ordained pastors on staff. So we're well equipped to handle all of the things that are a function of the church.
We are a full service church. Now, reasons why people don't think so is because we have an hour to communicate the main point. And we don't have time. We're taking people on a 60-minute spiritual journey every week. And we just don't have time to just say, and by the way, here's everything else that's a crossroads. That's, you know, as you come more and more involved and come to an open house, those are the ways that you kind of get to know some of the stuff like that.
Thank you.
Uh-huh.
Hi, my name is Willie, and I'm 14. And I've been coming to Crossroads with either my mom or my dad for a while. And my best friends, like, go to a Catholic church, and I've been to a Catholic church before, and, you know, like, it's just, like, I don't get the message across like I do here at Crossroads. And I was just wondering, like, my friend's parents that I tell about Crossroads, I'm a kid, so they don't really, like, believe me when I tell them, like, how awesome it is here. And I was just wondering how, like, you can, like, relay the message to them when you're a kid, like, that it really is great here.
Yeah, you know what? One of a friend of mine taught me this years ago. He said that when you ask somebody for help, they're inclined to give it. And you might just want to start that conversation and say, hey, can you help me out? Because I'd like to tell you about something. What would be the best way to do that? Or would you listen to this tape and then we could talk about it? Because our tapes are always free and you can take those tapes to them. Mm-hmm. But I don't think being a kid should stop your energy for telling people about the things that are passionate to you, and maybe just using one little communication tool by communicating with an adult, hey, can you help me communicate with you, might be just a real simple, practical way to handle that. Grab some tapes, take them with you.
Yeah, I think that's great. Or just listen to what's going on in their life, and then drop me an email or call us up here and say, hey, have you guys ever done a message related to this or this or this? Because it's that teachable moment thing, you know. We'd be happy. Our whole backlog of tapes, we make them available for free to anybody. Give some of those, and then, you know, it's almost like a little taste test for them.
Another thing for you too, Will, and this I think applies to all of us. I think if we all spend more time allowing God to work on us and change us and do the right things to see ourselves grow, I think the people who are around us are going to start to go, man, what is it going on in your life? And so if I were you, I'd encourage you to say, God, just do what you're doing in my life, and I want to continue to grow. And I think you'd be surprised at some point, there's going to be some comment about, now, what is this church you're going to? Because you're a different girl. What's going on with that? And that's the thing you can't argue with is a changed life.
Like last weekend, a few weekends ago, I think it was, I went to a Catholic church with my best friend, and she's not allowed to come here or something because her grandma's said her grandma would like get mad at her or something. But I went to Catholic church with her, and she like
some
she
of
didn't
our grandmas
listen.
Don't know we come here. Okay? It's just.
So, like, I wish you would see that, like, how I'm different from her because I come here. But, like, it's hard for me to tell her that because, like, I don't want to be like, oh, I'm better than you because I go to this church. But she doesn't really listen, like, when she goes to a Catholic church. So I don't really understand why her parents won't let her try it.
Maybe just change the conversation from, you know, come to my church to just talking about God.
Yeah.
You know, that's what we're all doing every day is just talking about who is God? What's He doing in our lives? And maybe that, you know, just
right. Ultimately,
it
doesn't
pushing.
Matter what church anybody goes to. Yeah. Ultimately, matters is what they think about God and His Son Jesus, and whether or not they're growing in that.
Okay, thanks.
Let's stand. Let's stand and pray here. God, thank you so much for the incredible questions, man. I feel like the 11:40 service is maybe the best, and I'm so thankful for the courage that people had to ask questions. And then the tenderness to be able to hear something that they might not have always liked or agreed with. And I pray that you just continue to make this place, this church, Crossroads Community Church, a place that is about who you are, and that all of us here, all of us, God, my big prayer as we leave here is I pray that we leave this place and we have cemented in our mind that this is the place that I'm going to be committed to, or this is not the place I'm going to be committed to, and there's another place that I would honor you by being there. Thank you for this thing called Crossroads, and most importantly, thank you for you. And it's in your name we pray. Amen.